They are one of the largest recipients of NIH funding. Their scientists played a substantial role in developing more than half the cancer drugs approved by the FDA in the last 5 years. Dana-Farber Cancer Institute has been making one advanced cancer discovery after another for over 75 years. At Dana-Farber Cancer Institute, what we do here changes lives everywhere. Find out more at danafarber.org/everywhere.
This public radio podcast is supported by the Society for Human Resource Management, meeting the challenges of a changing world, online at shrm.org, and by KeyBank Capital Markets, specializing in corporate and investment banking solutions for established and growing mid-sized companies. Visit key.com/KBCM.
Swing your partner round and round.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From American Public Media in Los Angeles, I'm Scott Jagow. In the Internet square dance, it's hard to say who will end up with whom. This weekend, Microsoft sweetened its offer for Yahoo to $47 billion. But Yahoo said, no thanks. We're thinking more like $53 billion. So Microsoft walked away. A lot of Yahoo shareholders are not happy. They're selling. Yahoo shares are down more than 20% in Europe this morning. Yahoo's still hoping to find a partner, like maybe AOL, but the Times of London says AOL has approached Microsoft about some kind of deal. The stock markets in Tokyo and London are closed for holidays. Otherwise, stocks finish mixed in the other Asian markets. European shares are down a fraction so far. Wall Street is coming off 1 to 2% gains last week. The Dow was at 13,058 to start the morning. Congress is still trying to cut a deal to pay for the wars in Iraq and Afghanistan. One thing many Republicans and Democrats agree on is the need to set some limits. John Dimsdale reports from Washington.
House and Senate leaders have endorsed a ban on U.S. funding for any Iraqi reconstruction project that exceeds $2 million. Iraq would also have to share the costs of joint military operations and foot the bill for fuel. Former Pentagon official Lawrence Korb says this is the first congressional restriction on war spending to get bipartisan support.
Whether you're for the war or against the war, Americans are looking and saying, these people have plenty of money. Why are we spending it? And I think particularly symbolically is the oil. They're exporting 2 million barrels a day of oil. So I think people say, hey, this is not quite fair.
Korb says the spending restriction should save close to $15 billion a year. But Democratic leaders are trying to add extra unemployment benefits, economic stimulus grants, and the president's request for global food aid. Anti-war Democrats are balking because they want to vote against the spending bill, and the White House is threatening to veto any extra line items. In Washington, I'm John Dimsdale for Marketplace.
It's been 5 years now since the food company Parmalat went bankrupt. People called it the Enron of Italy. Investors in the U.S. and Europe lost billions. Like Enron, the aftermath of this collapse seems to have no end in sight. Megan Williams has more from Rome.
One thing there's no shortage of in the Parmalat cleanup is lawsuits. Just days ago, Parmalat settled class action claims against it in the U.S., shelling out more than $37 million in shares. Now the dairy giant is suing Citigroup for pushing it towards bankruptcy by helping corrupt insiders steal from the company. Citigroup is just one of dozens of banks the new Parmalat head, Enrico Bondi, is going after. Financial and political activist Beppe Grillo says the chances of getting the banks to pay up is slim. 18 billion euros is still missing, and nobody, not even Bondi, who's a great administrator, knows where it is, says Grillo. That's $27 billion. So far, Parmalat's recouped a mere $2 billion through lawsuits. In Rome, I'm Megan Williams for Marketplace.
Mobile phone companies have gobbled each other up to the point where there's only a handful of big ones left in the U.S., but there could be more gobbling. The Wall Street Journal says Deutsche Telekom is mulling a bid for Sprint Nextel. It's nowhere close to a done deal, but if it did happen, AT&T would no longer be the big shot in the U.S. That would be Deutsche Telekom, Sprint Nextel, T-Mobile. Deutsche Telekom owns T-Mobile.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by The Economist, committed to writing about issues that matter and the connections between them. The Economist. See the world differently. At newsstands and economist.com. By America's Family Physicians, offering patient-centered care so employees can better manage their health and employers better manage their costs. AAFP.org/value. And by Gather.com, where friends can stay in touch. People are talking at Gather.com.
And now it's time for the Sloan Sessions.
Yahoo and Microsoft aren't hooking up, but Mars and Wrigley are, with a little help from Warren Buffett. We told you last week about this candy deal between two very secretive companies, but we didn't go that deep into it. That's why we have Fortune Magazine's Alan Sloan. Alan, not many deals are getting done in this economic climate. How'd this one get done?
The way this got done is that Mars, which may have more money than God, is putting up $11 billion, or roughly half of the purchase price, and Buffett's company, Berkshire Hathaway, which has possibly the second largest amount of money after God and Mars, is taking another piece. So I would call this a leveraged buyout, but the leverage is very low. The gum business, people just love gum. People love the stuff. The cash flow is very predictable. So it ought to be a layup.
So should we read this as a sign that money might be loosening up a bit for deals, or is this a one-off?
I think this is a one-off, but that's such a good question. I need to chew it over a little bit.
You're killing me here. Talking about these companies being so close to the vest, I was reading a story that a few years ago, a kid rode in to Mars and asked how Milky Way, the candy bar, got its name, and Mars responded that that was classified and confidential information. Why are these companies so close to the vest?
Well, Mars is a private company and has always been, I guess I would say, odd. Wrigley is a public company. It's been run by the family forever. I think it's the third or fourth generation. And someone named William Wrigley, up until fairly recently, was the CEO, and he's young enough to be one of my kids. I mean, I'm surprised they sold, but it's a very good price. All these things always look good in paper, right? There's never a deal done that doesn't look good on paper. But in theory, if you combine what Mars does and what Wrigley's does, you have a better position dealing with, say, Walmart, where the stuff is sold, or the big supermarket chains. You know, you have Buffett there blessing the deal and buying a piece of the action. And if Mars wants to grow, I mean, this is an enormous transaction for Mars. This is by far the biggest thing it's ever done.
All right, the Candyman, Alan Sloan from Fortune Magazine. Thanks.
Have a sweet day.
In Los Angeles, I'm Scott Jagow. Thanks for tuning in, and enjoy your day.
American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.